This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome in. Hope you're ready for a great, great sports weekend. We had last night's NBA draft coverage, which I thought was outstanding on Fox Sports Radio, including Chris Broussard saying a little something about the Chris Paul extension that everyone thought was done might not be done. Plus, we got the Jameis Winston being suspended for what exactly? We'll dig in on the Denver Nuggets as their general manager, Arturis Karnišević, of course, played at Seton Hall back in the early 90s, will be our guest. Evan Daniels will join us. We'll talk about some of the guys, some of the lauded college basketball players who were not selected and some of the surprises of last night. And we'll also talk about the Cavs and LeBron. We're just jam-packed here. Rick Bucher is going to join us. Nick Baugh is going to join us. Man, we got a good show for you. It is the summer season. Hope you're having a great summer. It was the waning days of spring. Now it's officially summer. I've spent the past couple of days here in the Northeast, city of Boston, trying to figure out what's what with the Boston Celtics. Got a chance to be around the organization a little bit today. They got a new practice facility. It was spectacular. Meanwhile, summer has sprung here, if you will. It is absolutely gorgeous in Boston Commons. Wherever you are, I hope you're headed out to a lake, a beach, a mountain, whatever. Get outside if it's great. We're watching the World Cup. Man, how good was Nigeria today? But with summer comes the concert season. My buddy of mine went to see Darius Rucker last night in Tulsa. And then Darius tries to FaceTime me at like 1 in the morning. Dude, I'm on the East, not the West Coast. I love my boy Darius. I love going to concerts. There are certain concerts that I try and go to every year. I'm one of those guys. Now, I don't love what I don't love about some of my favorite artists are two things. One, I hate when they're like compilations when they mush a bunch of songs together. But the thing that is the hardest, the absolute hardest to take in when you're at a concert is, this one's from our new album. Right? I remember this. U2 played in Boston Garden last night. I didn't go. If you've ever been to Boston, we went to North Side. Great Italian food. Went to dinner. It was amazing. Watching the NBA draft. Eating, drinking some wine. Breaking some stories on Twitter. It was fun. But I went to the U2, I think it was Pop Mart tour. Ramos probably remembers it because he was around Los Angeles at the time. It was in the mid-90s. It was one of their few albums that didn't do well. And I remember that when he played Streets Had No Name, at the time, the lighters came out. Now everybody obviously does the cell phones. But when they said this is from the Pop Mart album, that's when you went and got a beer. That's when you went and took a leak. That's when you sat down and you talked to the people next to you. Right? I remember... I've heard so many different bands in concert. So many. But I remember it was the very first national tour, for the Zac Brown Band. And I was in Hartford at the time and I went to the concert. Now, Zac Brown Band had previously opened for Dave Matthews Band, and ZBB, if you've ever seen them in concert, you know this to be true. They got a little Grateful Dead to them, right? They're all super talented musicians. One of the worst looking groups of men as well. They're like the country version of Boys to Men, right? Like if it wasn't for music, they wouldn't get any ladies. You put an instrument in somebody's hand, you put them on stage, and the ladies flock. I can't tell you what it is. It's just the way it is. But Zac Brown Band has a little bit of that Grateful Dead, Dave Matthews Band. Every song becomes 10, 12 minutes. Every instrument has a solo. And man, are they talented musicians. And man, it's getting late. It was a Sunday night in Hartford. Open air, beautiful night. And when they played, was it Chicken Fried? I was jamming. But when they played songs from their new album, considering they'd only had one album out at the time, I was lost. It wasn't just that they were playing songs from an album I didn't know. It was that they're playing songs from an album I didn't know that took way too long. Right? You want to play a compilation? Play a compilation of the new stuff. Play the one hit that's on the radio from the new thing. Matter of fact, if you only had four hits, which they only had about four at the time, just play those in repeat. But it got long, it got drawn out, and I'll be honest with you, it wasn't a good concert. It wasn't. I've had the opportunity to see Zac Brown Band about 10 times over since then, and now they have an incredible depth of music to deliver on. And I have no doubt that those of you who go and see ZBB in concert, like, dude, you're missing out. It's a great show. They're up there for 3 hours. First of all, it's like, sorry, Bruce Springsteen fans. When you tell me that Bruce is up, the boss is up there for 3 hours, that doesn't make me want to go see Springsteen. It doesn't. I'm not a Springsteen guy, and I'm just not a three-hour concert guy. I'm not a three-hour movie guy. I'm not a three-hour anything guy. I get ADD at the 14th hole. Anyway, my point is, once you start going to, this is from our new album, it's time to get a drink. Time to get a Coke. Time to get a beer. Time to take a leak. Time to talk sweetly to the thing sitting next to you, right? That's what happened last night with the NBA draft. All of these guys are the new album. 13 of the first 18 picks are one and dones. 13 of 18. It's not that they're not ultimately going to be good. It's that you're telling us, trust me, they're going to be good. When we're first, we have numbers to point out that there's a good percentage of them that won't be great. Secondly, even if the song is good, if we just haven't heard it enough, if we haven't adjusted our ears to it, it takes a while. We don't know the lyrics. We don't know the melody. We don't know the beat. We don't know the hook. We don't know these kids. I do, but that's because that's what I've done for 15 years and I love it. But I'm also reasonable. And I got to tell you, the NBA draft used to be really cool. It used to be really cool. I don't know when that moment was that it wasn't that cool, but the perfect example of how it's trying to be cool again was they did player introductions last night. That's what they did. They admitted, man, we're not cool. Man, we got to liven this thing up. What's the coolest thing about basketball? Well, outside of slam dunks and three-point shots, which we'll show on video, it's player intros. All we needed was guys with slacks to have tearaway pants, and you would have had the whole thing. The problem with the intros is it sounded a lot better in the boardroom than it played out on TV. I have no doubt there's going to be some good players. I have some thoughts on each team. I'll share them with you throughout the next 3 hours. If you have any questions, 877-99-FOX, or feel free to tweet me, at Gottlieb Show. We can even talk about the guys that didn't get drafted last night and why they didn't get drafted last night. But man, there used to be, network TV used to be cool. Payphones used to exist. And back when all that happened, the NBA draft used to be a what's what and who's who you had to watch. Because, and what's the real reason? You knew him. You knew Patrick Ewing. You knew Larry Johnson. You knew Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley. Heck, you even knew Grant Hill. You know, go through guys, and the more you knew them, the more you felt attached to them. It's the same with music. It's the same with music. Doesn't matter how good the song is. You might think that's going to be a hit, but until it's a hit, until it hits number one on the charts, it's really hard for me to start memorizing it and knowing it and you may even think it's what we play out the top songs on Top 40 Radio. They probably do. Right? Ed Sheeran's Perfect has played so many times over the past year or so that it's a completely, perfectly imperfect song. I want to scream every time I hear it. But the point is simple. Just like summer music, when you go to hear it and it's, this is from our new album, the NBA draft is too many new albums, too many new players. Michael Porter Jr., who we'll talk about with our next guest, the general manager of the Denver Nuggets, who fell to them at 14, was a top five high school All-American. and suffered an injury. There's some talk that he might not play much at all this year. But because you didn't see him, you have to take everybody's word for it. Trust me, this is going to be a hit. And after a couple hours, like my first Zach Brown Band experience, it's hard to listen to. Because you don't know it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are seen as a foregone conclusion, but it's not really foregone. That's the conclusion should not be foregone. The perfect example of that is the Chris Paul is going to re-sign with the Houston Rockets. Now, look, I offered up when LeBron season was over. Why can't he go to the Lakers? Why can't he bring Chris Paul with him? I don't think that's ultimately the home for. I don't think the Clippers would be an option because I just don't think LeBron goes to the Clippers, even though, hey, look, it is Jerry West, and Jerry West has shown the. And Jerry West did a great job at the draft last night. I thought outstanding. I love Jerome Robinson, and I like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky. Has two good guards to build the future of your backcourt. But why can't Chris Paul, who should have been a Laker if not for the trade being overturned by David Stern back in the day, should have been a Laker already. Take a listen to what Chris Broussard said on The Herd earlier today in regards to Chris Paul and his situation in Houston.
What I'm hearing is that there's tension now between Houston and Chris Paul. Not irreparable tension, but there's some tension because there was obviously a handshake, wink, wink, however you want to describe it, deal or agreement between Chris and Houston when he left 4 years, $175 million on the table with the Clippers. You don't leave that type of money on the table unless they're like, look, we're going to take care of you. Don't worry, blah, blah, blah.
So what's that mean? Now, look, the clever out for the Houston Rockets front office is, hey, man, we're under new ownership, right? We're under new ownership, and I'd love to do it, but my boss says it's not a smart plan. And remember, as much as you can say, hey, Chris Paul gave up all this money, think about all the players that Houston gave up to get Chris Paul. And in defense of the Rockets, first, handshake agreements are not agreements, as we've seen before. Second, wasn't Chris Paul hurt at the most important time? The one time of year which he was brought in for, right? The series against the Golden State Warriors. And it doesn't mean that it was his fault that he was hurt, but he was, in fact, hurt. He was. So I understand if Chris Paul is bitter that they haven't just automatically, hey, we're automatically going to re-sign you to the max contract you can get for as many years as possible late in your career. But I also understand what the Rockets are doing. And if you're the Lakers and you hear this, it's music to your ears. What do we got to do to get Chris Paul here? Because LeBron has always wanted to play with Chris Paul, and Chris Paul has always wanted to win a title, and he always wanted to be a Laker. Even when he was a Clipper. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just means that anytime you think it's a done deal, until the ink is dry, last and final does not mean last and final. Remember that, guys. When you're negotiating a deal, last and final. Perfect example. Did you see Fox's other, you know, all Fox's movie vault and other stuff was sold to you know, the Disney agreement was reached like 4 or 5 months ago. And then what happened? Comcast came in and said, like, well, you know what? We can make an all-cash offer, make a better offer. So you know what happened? Disney paid even more money. Do you know why? Because last and final is not last and final. And a handshake agreement is not the agreement. An agreement is an agreement.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Here's one of the most fascinating things about Mo Bamba, not his size, his wingspan, his length, his incredible upside. It's the fact that he's the highest draft pick out of New York City in more than two decades. Like when you think of New York City, like Mecca of basketball. And of course, he went to prep school and private school in New Hampshire and Pennsylvania, before going to the University of Texas. So you don't think of him as a New Yorker. But to grow up in New York, born in New York, grow up in New York, and then become a lottery pick and a top five pick, and the highest draft pick in nearly two decades. Really remarkable. Mo Bamba joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Congratulations. What's the last 12 hours been like?
It's been awesome. There's no real way to explain how I feel because life has officially come back into full circle. You know, you grew up in New York and, you know, you watch the draft and you watch everything. And then, you know, obviously I moved around and did things away from the city. But then the end draft night in New York, it's just, can you believe it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so you woke up yesterday. Where did you think, honestly, where did you think you were going to go play?
I had no clue because there were so many different speculations about, you know, teams trading up and, you know, teams that, like, meeting with the Knicks last second was a bit, like, overwhelming. And, you know, but I didn't really have a good feel for any team.
Okay, but you had to think, like, Knicks or Dallas, right? Like, that was the long-held rumor, Knicks or Dallas, wasn't it?
Knicks? I didn't know the Knicks was a rumor until, you know, I actually met with them.
And did they say they were taking you?
No, they didn't say anything. They didn't really give too much information. But I knew Orlando was always crazy about me, so I obviously looked at here as a pretty spot that I could very much end up.
What is it actually like to get that call? To know that you are, like, what is that moment like?
You know, I didn't find out till the pick, till the, like, cameras that came over and had pretty good idea that they were maybe going to pick me. But it was, you know, like I said, words can't really explain how it felt.
Mo Bamba joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, now a member of the Orlando Magic. Of course, everybody talks about your length, your upside. Do you ever grow tired of the, hey, dude, stick out your arms. Let me see how big your wingspan is.
Nope, not at all. Because it's a blessing, honestly, you know, to be able to have these God-given tools and these God-given strengths. I can't really complain.
You know, it's interesting. I've seen some of your workouts, which you've posted with Drew Hanlon online, and a lot of it is perimeter work. And there's this kind of there's this discussion with NBA people: do we put them inside, you know, where he can finish and dunk on people, or do we let him go outside? Because you can shoot and you're continuing to improve as a perimeter player. What have the Orlando Magic said about how they want to use you?
You know, honestly, when you were just saying that, I was just thinking, why not both, huh? But with Orlando, they've gotten guys like me before. They've gotten guys who can play inside out, and that's why I feel as if I can be very special here, because the blueprint is there.
It's fascinating because who's the first basketball coach you can remember growing up in New York?
Greer Love was actually my first basketball coach.
Who?
Greer Love.
Okay, so Greer Love's your coach. And I will bet, I could be wrong, but I will bet most of your coaches growing up were like, hey, big guy, get inside, right? Get inside and we'll throw you the ball. And now you're going to the NBA where everybody's like, dude, you got to have to get outside and shoot threes.
Well, it's the direction of the league. That's the way the direction of the league is kind of heading in, and you don't want to be behind on times. And this was something that I always had in my back pocket, but it was just a matter of reaching back there and getting it.
How, did you just get the hiccups on me?
Yeah, I did.
Are you spicy food, drinking soda? Yeah. What caused, or you're just nervous about coming on the radio? Let's just
I'm
be
just
honest.
Nervous. I was just nervous about coming on the radio.
fair enough. Mo Bamba joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. You know, there's this other thing about Orlando, right? Like, it's the place where Hall of Fame big guys get started. Shaq, Dwight Howard, now Mo Bamba. Have you thought about that connection?
I have not. But I'm honestly joking. Obviously, you know the history of the organization with, you know, Shaq and Dwight. But what people don't really see is when you peel a layer back, you know, those guys really had a unique personality. And that's something that I'm hoping to bring to the city.
Okay, so are you going to play, like, the next Shazam? Is that what you're planning on?
Not quite. I think I'm going to do some work on the floor before I start doing all of that.
Mahama Bamba joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. There's been a ton of discussion about about DeAndre Ayton. He's gone number one overall. And what I said was, like, look, I think he's great in the low post. He can shoot outside, but you're actually more fluid outside. And some believe you have a greater ceiling in the NBA. How competitive are you with Ayton specifically and with a couple of the other big guys as we go forward in the league?
Well, me and DeAndre have been playing against each other since we were in high school, and, you know, he can even attest for it. Those have been some of the best games to sort of watch from just, like, how much we competed. Like, those were truly battles, you know. I'm 4-0 against them, you know. But they've been battles, and he really brings out the best in me, and I believe I really bring out the best in him.
Hey, well, listen, congratulations on being drafted. We'll let you get going. I know it's a crazy day, lots of interviews, lots of handshaking, but this is respect that's earned. Best of luck in Summer League, and thanks for joining us.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Mohamed Bambola joining us. Clearly nervous about being on the show with us. I mean, that's my big takeaway was he was nervous about being on the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, let's welcome in Nick Baugh from Fox Sports One, a college basketball analyst like myself. And Nick, you don't like it when summer concerts, somebody comes to Omaha and they start playing songs from a new album, do you?
Nah, man, play the hits. I mean, no, stay in your lane, play the hits. I'm totally with you. I like that analogy. I might steal that one. I like that a lot.
What was the biggest surprise last night for you?
I mean, I think you have to probably say, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but I think you're probably going to have to say Michael Porter Jr., just because of, like, on one hand, the talent that you know is there. I mean, this is a dude that is a, you know, top five, at worst, top 10 talent, and for him to fall the way he did, that kind of felt like that was the defining story of the first round. But you also get it. I mean, bad backs and big guys are a concerning combination. So you can understand why there was some concern and why he fell. But, I mean, let's be honest, Doug. You've seen this guy play. Like, if he stays healthy, this guy is really, really good. I mean, he's an all-star level type of player with his size and skill and ability to shoot. And I think it just got to the point where Denver probably thought, you know, there's that whole best available versus, you know, fit and all those things. It's like you're sitting there at 14. You got a guy in Michael Porter Jr. sitting there. You're like, we got to do this. We got to make this happen. So to me, just because you're talking about a guy, I mean, if he were eligible last year, he might have been selected in the top 10 last year, and he falls to 14 to Denver. To me, that was kind of the defining, stunning story of the first round.
Who's going to be the best player this year? This year in the NBA?
Oh, Marvin Bagley, right? I mean, Marvin Bagley's the guy. If you're looking for the most ready-made dude to step in the league and get buckets and be able to rebound and bring it night in and night out, it's Marvin Bagley. I mean, I do have my concerns. I think you can develop bad habits. You know this, Doug, when you're just sitting in a zone all year, you know, that's just, sometimes that's just the lazy way out of defending. But ultimately, you have Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley. You're like, we got to play these guys at the same time. We'll send a 2-3 zone, whatever. But he's the guy that I think he'll have to catch up on some things with rotations defensively and being able to slide his feet and all those sorts of things because he's just guarding an area in that zone. But I mean, he's awesome. I mean, he's a really good player. I think he's going to be able to step in and score and be productive right away. He'd be my first. Right now, gun in my head, if I'm picking a rookie of the year, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I would say it's him or Trae Young. There's two things. The one thing Trae has going for him, Bagley has a little bit, is you play in a bad team, you're going to play more, and you're going to get the ball more. You got to get the in order to score, you got to get the ball, you got to get minutes. And I think that Atlanta, they're going to turn the ball over to Trae Young. I don't think Trae Young is going to be the best player, but I do think he could be rookie of the year because he'll have some nights where he puts up crazy numbers hitting all those shots.
Yeah, I mean, anymore. Oftentimes, basketball is kind of predicated on, you know, high on ball screen, what are you doing with it, right? And how messy is the defense going to get when we set that high on ball screen? Or random drag ball screens in transition, that's what Steph is so good at. I mean, his point of pickup's got to be at about, you know, 30 feet. That's a long ways extended from the basket. You set a ball screen, you might force a switch, you might create a hedge and a double. Now you're playing 4-on-3 if he can throw out of it. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to make things happen just because of the predicament he puts you in those high on ball screens. And I'm totally with you. I mean, he might put up a lot of empty stats this year. I mean, he might have some games where he goes for for 40 just because he's that kind of a shooter. But time will tell on how much he can kind of develop his body, how he can learn to hang in there defensively, for lack of a better term. But Trae Young, it's one of those things that we kind of like to slide a guy under a microscope and kill him a little bit. He was a guy that was the most electric guy in college basketball this year, and he can score. So it'll be fun to watch him put up some big nights. But ultimately, how can he hang in there on defense? Going to kind of define his career.
I tend to agree with you. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Nick Baugh. Of course, he has his own radio show in Omaha. Many of you know that. He also is on Fox Sports 1. And you can follow him on Twitter, part of the Twitter Fox Sports College Basketball Twitter feed. Okay, so you mentioned that Marvin Bagley will be the best player right away. DeAndre Ayton went number one overall. I said, look, I know that Phoenix needs a center, I guess. Jonathan Bender was, Dragan Bender was actually pretty good this year. I just thought Bagley was the best prospect. I would have taken him number one overall, especially, and this, there's a little bit of positional bias to which centers don't play big portions of the of NBA games. What's your take on who the best actual prospect would have been if you were selecting for the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, and I'm sure you do this sometimes. So I had to do a top five big men in the draft kind of little digital piece. And I put Ayton number one, and if I could have it back, I probably would have put Bagley number one. But it's easy to get excited about the measurables and see what Ayton looks like. I mean, the guy's a freak. I mean, I'm sure you saw him a bunch doing some different things in the Pac-12 and being in that part of the country. The guy is freaky. But ultimately, and to me it was one of the more interesting things about the draft was, first of all, I didn't think it was a great draft. I don't think there are any just for sure superstars. I think there's a bunch of good players, not great players. But it was loaded at the top with big guys. And that just kind of flies in the face of where basketball is headed. I mean, you watch the playoffs, when it got to be, crunch time and in big moments in big games, outside of Horford a little bit, Capella a little bit, I mean, it was just a lot of guards or glorified guards on the floor. So it's one of the kind of $64,000 questions in how you're assessing Ayton. Is he a guy that just is coming around 15 years, 20 years too late, where he does, at least at this point, he is your traditional five-man back-to-the-basket kind of guy. Now, he has shown, I think he shoots like mid-70s from the free throw line, and he can face up and shoot a little bit. But, man, until he can prove that he can step out and stretch the defense a little bit, at least make you think about having to run him off the three-point line ever so, a little bit. I think ultimately Bagley was probably the safest and the choice that makes the most sense at that number one spot. Who knows how much, there's a magnetic pull with him being just down the road in Tucson, your Phoenix. It makes sense. But I think it was fascinating to see how these teams are going to assess some of those big guys at the top of the draft.
Nick Baugh joining us, Fox Sports college basketball analyst. There's a group of guys that didn't get drafted, the Trayvon Duvals of the world, the Trayvon Blewitts of the world, a senior who puts up huge numbers. As far as the underclassmen is concerned, they were warned by a lot of people about where they may slide in the draft. Is there a way to get them back into college basketball? A lot of these guys take money from an agent, they go work out, they take time away from school. Like, how do you do it for a kid who's not drafted in terms of trying to welcome him back?
It's really complicated. I mean, it's one of those things that if you're trying to do right by the kid, it makes sense that you should be able to do something like how Major League Baseball does it, where you kind of have a choice and whatever the case may be. But it's hard. I mean, these guys get bad information, or sometimes the easiest thing to do is to tell people what they want to hear. They all want to hear that they're going to get drafted. So it's you're going to be a little bit more eager to hear those kinds of things. But it's hard. I think this is challenging right now. I like the rule that these guys can enter their name into the draft advisory committee and come back. But I can tell you, at least from being around Creighton's program, I think it was challenging throughout the spring for what Greg McDermott was trying to do with the whole Khyree Thomas situation, where there's a lot of these grad transfers that are probably saying to themselves, okay, well, is Khyree Thomas coming back? Is he going to stay? Because, if I'm a grad transfer, I'm trying to go into a place where I'm going to get a ton of minutes, I'm going to get a ton of shots, and if Kyrie's there, I don't know if that's exactly what I'm trying to do. And so I just think even those sorts of things get challenging for the college aspect of things. But ultimately, I do feel like we can all come together, sit down, figure out something that satisfies all parties, that you feel like there's a handful of people that, you know, either got drafted late second round or didn't get drafted at all. It feels like they should be able to have the option to return to college if we're ultimately trying to do what's best for these kids.
Villanova had four players drafted in the first round. Miles Bridges, I like, but I do think he's a 3-and-D rotation guy, maybe a fifth starter at best. Jalen Brunson, I love in college. I don't think he's a great NBA point guard because he's more of a mid-range and a post-up guy and lacks great athleticism. I like Dante DiVincenzo, but 17 seems a bit high for a kid who came off the bench. He's a great athlete. Great athlete, but probably an off-the-bench guy most of his career. He's not a great ball handler. He made a ton of big shots this year, especially in the Final Four. And Amari Spellman, who he got some knee issues. He lost a lot of weight. Still got to change his body, but a stretch five. He went in the first round. I guess the question is, like, look, I know you and I have been around Villanova enough to know they have great culture. The kids buy in terms of what they eat, how they play. Like, it's all great. But, like, the NBA, some of it's about intangibles. A lot of it's about tangibles. Do you think ultimately they were overdrafted and that will come back to bite teams that drafted them as high as they did?
This is going to sound like I'm kissing your behind here, Doug, but I totally agree with you. I mean, totally agree with you. And it's hard because I absolutely love what Jay Wright does. I love that. They were my favorite team to watch all year. I mean, they were fantastic. But they've been inflated by what they've done collectively. And they're really a poster child for every individual out there of, hey, you want to get drafted? Go win. You know, it's the rising tide lifts all ships kind of a thing. Team success breeds individual success. I've watched Bridges and DiVincenzo a ton. Good players. Very, very good players. Do I think they're the 10th pick and the 17th pick? No way. I mean, I think DiVincenzo found a way to kind of ride the wave of the 31-point performance in the national title game. I think there's a big difference between being a team's focal point of a defensive scouting report and being just a guy that comes off the bench as a rotational player, even in college. But don't get me wrong, I feel like they're good players. They're overvalued. I'm not so sure that Spellman wasn't the long-term best prospect just because he's still young, he's developing. He does have the knee issues, but I just think he fits in what you want in a big today. And then Brunson is what he is. You know, he's a Fred Van Fleet kind of a guy, off the guard, be solid for you. He's not ever going to really be a totally difference maker guy for your franchise. But totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. I think some of those Nova guys got inflated just because they were a part of such a great culture and they won so many games that ultimately – You win enough, you play enough games, you get hot in the right moment, and you're the next Dante DiVincenzo, who people kind of get way too excited about being a guy that goes in the top 20.
He's Nick Baugh. He's the king of Omaha. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. We'll talk soon, man.
You got it, Doug, man. Appreciate it.
Have a happy summer. Nick Baugh, Fox Sports, and, of course, has his own show. He's a really, really good host on Omaha Radio and a good friend.